What do you think of when you see this? Touchdown. That's right. Everybody knows that tonight is Super Bowl Sunday. So I decided this afternoon, y'all are not going to hear the sermon I was going to do tonight. I decided this afternoon after lunch, I am going to do a sermon. I'm going to call it Touchdown. Okay? So we're going to talk about touchdown tonight. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin reading with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now you may think, as we read this, what in the world has this passage of Scripture got to do with the touchdown? What does it have to do with football in general? Because that's what's on most people's minds tonight. In fact, I've had people ask me, are you going to preach a Super Bowl sermon? Y'all know what a Super Bowl sermon is? It's short and sweet, and it's done very quickly. Okay, well, it may be short. I don't know how sweet it's going to be, but you know this old Southern boy don't talk fast, so it may be a little slower than you might expect. But as we look at Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to bring out for you some ideas that we can relate to football. Number one, there is always an opposing team. You know, I remember several years ago, and everybody in here knows that the Hamner family are Alabama fans, and we were playing Notre Dame in 2013 for the national championship game, and we were quite having our way with them the first half of the football game. In fact, we went into halftime ahead 35-0. And so they go up to Brian Kelly, who was the head coach at Notre Dame, and at the announcer, and they ask him, says, What can you do? What is it that you can do to bring yourself back into this ball game? And he said, I don't know. Maybe they won't show up for the second half. And then the announcer said, but unfortunately they did. Well, you know, the same thing is true with us. The opponent is always going to show up. And he's always going to try to win you over to his side. In our case, you know, the opposition showed up in the Garden of Eden. As Eve was there at that tree that she probably shouldn't have been at to begin with, there he was. And he approached her, and it was Satan. And he used deception in his efforts to get her. And sometimes deception is used in a football game, isn't it? He used trick plays to trap her. And sometimes trick plays are used in football. His favorite play is known as the trap play. And if you're a football fan, you know what a trap play is. And it was very successful on that day. And before you know it, Eve is beaten. So the opposition is always going to try to get into the game. He's always going to be there. He's always going to try to take you out. you know, the opposition can be beaten. You see, no team is above defeat. It doesn't matter who they are, how good they are. The greatest team will have a bad day and can be beaten. And the same thing is true spiritually. When you look at Satan, as powerful as he is, Satan can be beaten. And we read in from our text just really how powerful he is. And Paul is telling us, look, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. We wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness. This is how powerful Satan really is. And what Paul is telling us in this passage of Scripture is that you and I alone cannot beat him. He is more than a worthy opponent. He is an opponent that if you go up against him without God and without his Son, you are going to lose the game. Or in your case, you're going to lose your life. If we go up against him by ourselves, we will absolutely be defeated. And that's why God has gotten into this game. You see, God has given us a game plan. God has given us tools. God has given us plays that will allow us to beat Satan. For example, God has given us a defense. And we read of the defense in our text earlier. First of all, he has given us the truth. You know, the very first thing that Satan did when he approached Eve in the Garden of Eden was that he lied to her. Let me tell you something, friends. He has lied to you. And he has lied to me. Because, you see, he is full of lies. Jesus said, well, he is the father of lies. He is the greatest liar. And he uses the lie well. Jesus, on the other hand, has given us the truth. And he has told us that if we will take that truth as he has given it to us, you can know the truth and the truth shall set you free. In other words, if you take this truth that God has given you and if you will use it, you can beat Satan. You can win and put him away. But you must have the truth as a defense. Another thing we have in our defensive repertory is the breastplate of righteousness. This, my friends, is to protect your heart. You see, Satan is going to come at your heart. Satan is going to try to control your heart because he knows that if he controls the heart, he can control everything else. So he will try to take your heart from God. But if we can protect our heart, this helps us to love God. And we are told to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And to put God first in our lives. And it takes a loving heart to do that. If we can protect our heart, it helps us to love each other. And my friends, we need each other as we fight in this battle. Because it takes all of us to run Satan off. So we need to work together and use the breastplate of righteousness. He has also given us shoes that is made with the gospel of peace. This gives us a firm foundation. This gives us the ability to stand firm and to face Satan and to ward him off. You know, this concept was actually used in the Roman army, in the days of the Roman army. Do you see the Roman soldiers, they wore shoes that had nails or spikes on the bottom. And they were driven in at an angle so that when the soldier would stand to fight in the battle, these spikes would hold his feet to the ground to help him stand his place. And to fight and to be able to push forward instead of being driven backward. And that's exactly what we need in our lives today. We need to be sure that we are pushing in the right direction. And the gospel of Christ will help us push in the right direction. will also help us know that we are standing on solid ground, on hard ground. And then we have also been given the shield of faith. Now, this shield is used to protect us from advancing darts, as the Scripture puts it, that comes from the enemy. Now, in football, the front line protects the quarterback. The job of the front line is to allow the quarterback to stay in the pocket long enough that he can throw his pass and complete and score. Now, on the other side of this football game, the defense, their goal is to destroy this line so that they can attack the quarterback, keep him from throwing the ball, and get the ball back. We understand that. So the front line works as a shield to protect him. In a spiritual sense, we have a spiritual shield of faith that can protect us from oncoming attacks, the fiery darts, as the passage mentions here. So we need this shield of faith to ward off the darts that the enemy throws at us. And then we have the helmet of salvation. You know, in football, the helmet protects the head. For you see, the body cannot function properly if the head is injured. And the same thing is true spiritually. As Christians, we are admonished to keep our minds pure and holy. And just as Satan filled Eve's mind with impurities and lies, he will fill your mind with impurities and lies. And just as Satan has given evil thoughts into Eve's life to cause her to sin, he will give us evil thoughts as well. And unfortunately, sometimes we give in to those sinful thoughts. In fact, everyone in this room already has. But you know, God also gave us an offense to go along with our defensive tools. He gave us only one. That's interesting, isn't it? Of all of the things that He has given us to defend ourselves against Satan and against sin, He has given us one thing, really, to fight back with. And that one thing was the sword of the Spirit, which is simply the Word of God. Now, why would He only give us one thing to fight with in this battle? Well, the answer to that is simple. One thing is really all that we need. You know, the reason we have the sword of Spirit as our only instrument of offense is because it came from God. We know this because of something Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I love the way the NIV puts it. It says it is God-breathed. You know, my friends, that the book that you hold in your hand called the Holy Bible, it is God-breathed. It came from God Himself. We have His Word. And that's all we really need. It gives us all that we need. Let's continue reading in verse 16. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It gives us everything that we need. And then the other reason we don't need anything else is because it is complete. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10, Paul made this statement, that which is perfect when it has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. He was talking about the Word here. When the Word is complete, we won't need the miracles. We won't need the other things to prove who we are and what we are and what we do. You see, the Word of God gives us everything. And that's all we need for an offensive weapon. Well, there you have it. God has given us everything that we need to play this game of life, which is so important that we play it correctly. Because when you look at the game of life, my friends, it is not a game. It is a battle. It is a battle against Satan. It is a battle against sin. And if we do not use these tools properly, we could lose that battle. And we could lose the war. Question is tonight, as we play in this game, will we win? Well, let's see if we can win. For those who follow the precepts of the Lord, for those who take these tools that have been given to him by the Lord, this is the result. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Touchdown. That's how you win. You win by following what God has given to you. You use the tools that God has given you to fight in this battle. You be wary of Satan in every direction as he comes. And you use that sword of the Spirit. Just as Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4, every time Jesus was tempted, his response was with the Word of God. It is written. And that's how we must respond to what Satan throws at us. So, how will it be for you? Will it be a touchdown? Or will you go home defeated? My friends, tonight, if you're not a Christian, I have to tell you, you can't win unless you become one. And tonight, if you sit here as an unfaithful Christian, I have to tell you, you can't win unless you come back to God and use that which he has given to you. The choice is yours. Will it be touchdown, or will you be beaten? Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.